for what it means to have a musabad, because I always thought that, okay, we have a musabad, you're the right, guys need a break from Seder, and it's a nice, you know, healthy outlet, it's a good way to have a break from Seder. But it's a whole new deher if we're ready to be Doha fundraising for Musarvah. That's a whole new deher in Shivas for Musarvah. Okay. We've been doing a lot of davening recently. We'll be continuing to do a lot of davening. Shuvah Tefillah Tzedakah. I'm sorry. Is coming. Shuvah Tefillah Tzedakah, Mavir Nesra Gzerah. It's interesting. Like, you would have said that the most difficult thing about Yom Kippur is being in shul davening all day. And it's not even one of the Chamisha Inuyim. It's fascinating to see. But that's not part of the kapara. I don't think that pshat and part of the kapara of davening is because it's so difficult. There was a fellow, I got myself into a little trouble, it was years ago, I don't think any of you know him. It was a kid in 11th grade, very fine boy, top guy in the shir, good solid all around kid, and I see that, you know, he's not davening. So I brought him to my office, sat him down, we're schmoozing a little bit. I asked him, "What's wrong? You seem like such a good from kid." I told you the story.
No, I just said you showed him the picture.
this is a new one. This is a new Marvel. I didn't have this Marvel in my head. And so I asked him, I got myself in trouble. I asked him, what's shot? And so he like looks at me, takes a deep breath, and he says, "You know, my mother died when I was in fifth grade. Davening didn't work then." I'm like, oh. Got myself into trouble. I just, for whatever reason, didn't put two and two together. And I dug myself into a hole. I'm like, okay, now I was not prepared for that. What am I supposed to respond? It was definitely a very painful thing to hear. I had to recover from that for a little bit, so I just sat there in silence a little bit. He was staring at me, didn't know what to say. And then...
Well, then you pull up your...
And then it hit me. And then I said to him, I said, Hashem sent this thought into my head. I said to him, you know, the pasuk says about a yasom, v'haya ki yitzak elai, quoting it right, v'shemati ki chananani, that when the yasom calls out to me, I'm going to listen because I'm merciful. So I said to him, I don't know why Hashem took your mother, and you probably never get an answer to that, not in this lifetime. But one thing I do know, that chances are the tefillos that you have are the most powerful tefillos in the Beis Medrash. He looks at me, he's like, "Wow, Rabbi, that's intense." That was the end of our conversation. I'm not really sure where things went from there. I was just relieved that I thought of something nice to say back to him. But Lamaisa, that's a very, very big part of tefillah, of being Ma'or Hashem's Rachmanis. I think often when we think of Kavana in tefillah, so people get hung up on, okay, I'm going to stand there in Shemona Esrei reading all the different Pirushim, on what each word means, I'm going to know exactly what I'm saying, which is a nice, beautiful thing. But a tremendous part of the tefillah is the hargasha and being ba'or Hashem's rachmanis. You know, we do a lot of things these days as a zecher to the akedah. You know, we have shofar zecher to the akedah. We have the laning on Rosh Hashanah. One of the days of Rosh Hashanah was the Akedah. We do Tashlich at the river Zecher to the Akedah. Every day during Slichos, even if you don't know what the words mean, but on top of the paragraph it says Akedah, that's the one. And there's a paragraph about the Akedah during Aseres Mitzvah. That's actually the one that Nariman tells us to skip to. Not even one of the ones that we skip. And when the Beis Hamikdash was being destroyed, so Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, and more people were being mispalled to Hashem to stop the Churban Beis Hamikdash. So understandably, Avram and Yitzhak said, we're ready to do the Akedah. Avram said, after so many years, you finally told me I would have a son, then you told me to bring him as a carbon, I was ready to bring him as a carbon. Yitzhak says, I told my father, you know, bind me up, tie me up well, so that I shouldn't, move and passel the carbon. I was stretched out my neck, ready to be shechted, and that didn't work. Then Yaakov Avinu speaks up, and Yaakov Avinu says, you know, I had a difficult life. I don't remember exactly all the aspects of his difficult life that he mentioned, but Yaakov Avinu had a very difficult life, particularly raising his children, the whole maisa with Yosef being sold, he thought being killed, all maisa with Dina and Shechem, maisa with Esav trying to kill him, Lavan ripping him off in business many times. To deal with the famine and going down to Mitzrayim. Rachel died in childbirth. He did not have a very simple, pleasant life, to say the least. And he davens to Hashem. Hashem, I went through all this stuff. I had so much tzar gidol banim, and now my children are just being destroyed and sent into galus. So, interestingly, he doesn't mention any schus that. that he had. He doesn't say in Lavan Gariti, Vitari, Mitzvah, Shemariti. He doesn't talk about any mitzvahs that he did. He just talks about the difficult life that he had raising his children. And the Mepharshim, one of the Mepharshim on the Medrash, at least one of them, say that it was not coming with Torah's schus. He wasn't saying, I have any schusim. He was just trying to tap into the love that he knew that Hashem had for him and trying to be Ma'or Hashem's Rechonis. Hashem, I worked so hard for this family, Klal Yisrael, my children, how can you destroy them like this? So Yaakov Avinu thought that in the place where the Akedah was not enough of a schus, this tefillah coming just from a completely different angle of just being Ma'or Hashem's Rachmanis is going to be the tefillah that makes the difference. The power of being Ma'or Hashem's Rachmanis is very, very, very powerful. The power of the Koach HaTefillah, when we are Ma'or Hashem's Rachmanis, is very powerful. I think that's why from what I remember my yeshiva career, one of the main topics that the Rosh Yeshiva used to speak about during El Zman was how much Hashem loves us. And when you could appreciate that, it's easier to tap into the Tefillah and be mispallel with a little more hargasha. You know, we say in davening different ways, different places. Yal v'yabo, we say chusuch reinu rachmanu v'oshienu ki elacha einenu. The Hashem should rachmanus on us, bring us Yeshua. Why? Ki elacha einenu. Because our eyes are looking towards you. What does that mean? Why is that a reason for Hashem to be to listen to our tefillos. Why is that a reason for Hashem to give us a Yeshua? Because we're looking towards Him. What does that even mean, we're looking towards Him? So this is where the Maor Malkum comes in. So this is the story behind that picture. It's not written so clearly, but the story behind this picture was taken after some couple just walked out of the dog pound, whatever they call it, and they adopted these two dogs. So here's the mice behind that. I'm not telling you. I had a doctor. I got some weird email and I clicked on it. I had a doctor, but she refused to come with me. It was weird because dogs can't wait to leave the kennel. She was crying and stubbing her paws. They're talking about the bigger dog here. You see, it's Matuya from later in the story. I would have dragged her, but when I looked down, I understood the reason. And I had to make a choice. When the time came to take her home, she was, I'm not sure how to read this exactly, but she was just out of the cage. From that moment, a new world awaited her, a wonderful life and a lot of love. Any other dog would have run into the embraces of her rescuers, but she did not. She stood still, sticking to all fours and refusing to come out of the cage. In a corner, a small chihuahua, Taco, I think that's the one, looked at her in fear. She understood that she was about to lose her best friend, because her best friend was about to get adopted and have a new wonderful life. And at that moment, a small miracle happened. The couple saw the whole scene and decided to adopt them both. They did the documents also for the chihuahua, and all four went out the door of the shelter, and this picture was taken in the car. So let's... I'm not finished. You have to be my eye now. The couple with these
plus two
dogs, all four of them, the new family, went to the car. So, Charlotte, what exactly happened here? What exactly happened here in the story? This couple was standing here and saw this cute little chihuahua with those puppy eyes. Looking at the other dog with that pain in its eyes of, my friend is leaving me, I need my friend. That was Ma'ora, the Rachmanis of this couple. And this couple then decided, you know what, I'm going to now adopt this dog. I only wanted one dog, right? It's a big tirchah to take care of a dog for the rest of its life, right? And then this couple decided, okay, we want a dog, so we're gonna go to the shelter and adopt the dog. But they saw the look in this dog's eyes, that look of tsar, that look of don't leave me here like that. And that was Ma'or the Rachmanis of this couple. And they decided, okay, you know what? We're gonna adopt this dog for the rest of its life. Let's take this dog home too. The stomach, they're like, That's pshat. That's those eyes are an understanding of Ki Elecha Einenu. We're talking here a dog. Okay? We're talking a dog. We're talking a guy. Never had a Musa Seder, right? But they see the look in the eyes of the dog of Ambitzar, please don't leave me here. And for the next 10 years, I'll clean up whatever you make, right? because you looked at me with those eyes of please don't leave me here, I need you. The dog wasn't even looking at the couple, the dog was looking at the other dog, right? Right? And still was more that Rachmanis. Imagine if we could just have that hargasha, that we're looking towards Hashem, the way this chihuahua was looking towards that other dog. Right? And man, we're talking Hashem, the Rachman of all Rachman. And we're not dogs. And He loves us a lot more than this couple loved that dog. But that was Ma'or Hashem's Rachmanis. That was more of the couple's Rachmanis. That's my understanding of what it means, Ki Elecha Einenu. But we have to connect. You know, someone knocks on your door, you know, I'm in a really tough spot. You know, I need $10,000, but don't worry, if you don't give it to me, I'm gonna go to the guy next door, I'll get it from him. Like, okay. Go ahead, go next door. And we have to come to Hashem with the hakara of he's the Kol Yachol, he loves us, he wants to take care of us, he has the ability to do everything for us. We need him, there's nothing that could be done without him. We need him for everything. And then we can look at him with those eyes. And Hashem can't turn us away. We just said in Rosh Hashanah and Davening a whole bunch of times. Right? And that's if it's in Kavadim. If it's in Kavanim, we don't even need that. If it's but even if it's Kavadim, it's a lower Madrega, but if it's Einenu L'chot Lios, then Hashem can't turn us away. But we have to get to that reality, get to that mindset a little bit of Einenu L'chot Lios. Of connecting with Hashem, of really pleading with Hashem. How do we do that? A couple aitzes. You might be able to do it on your own. You might not need any of my aitzes. You might have some other aitzes. But a couple of aitzes that I've heard over the years. Rosh Hashiva has a shmooze by Esther. Esther was davening to Hashem, and right before she went into Ahasuerus to ask him to come to the party, actually to save the Jews, and her life was on the line because she wasn't invited, and she could have gotten killed. Her life was on the line. Within that tefillah, she was mispalas. She mentioned in that tefillah, I used to be a soma knocking on people's doors, pasha, to have something to eat. So the Rashiva asked, what shaychus does that have to her tefillah? Right now, she's the richest woman in the world. Okay, so you used to be that way. That's not your matzah right now. You're not having to get out of that matzah. What shaychus does that have to your tefillah? So he said, pshat, that there are certain situations that we could think of that will be ma'orer us to get us into an emotional mood. And once we're in that emotional state, we could channel those feelings towards our tefillos. So she was transforming herself into that zone where she was in a tremendous amount of tzar. In that very emotional state, she was thinking back through that matzav. As a result, she was getting that emotional state, and now she was able to be mispalel. Even Esther needed that. The whole Klal Yisrael's life is on the line. Probably was already a pretty emotional time, but she still used that to be ma'orah her rachmanis. Very often we have things that we can think about, even if they're not particularly connected to the tefillah, but they get us into an emotional state. And once we're in that emotional state, we can channel those emotions towards the davening. I asked this question to Rav Shai Cohn once. He gave me a different etza, which I've used plenty of times. And he said, even if life is going wonderfully for you, take a moment and look around and see what other people are going through. And if you know your friends and their family situations and their life situations well, there's probably a lot that you could stop and think and realize what other people are going through. And that could be more you in a few different ways. It could be more you, maybe to daven for them. It could be more you to realize what's at stake. And you know, there's no chazakas. Rabbi Grunstein wrote in his there's no chazakas. And just because we had a great year last year, you know, doesn't mean that that's what we should expect. And by looking around the people that attack going through difficult situations in life, that could help us realize what we really have to daven for. Or again, it could put us in that emotional state and help us channel our tefillos. And if we're not going through those kinds of difficult situations ourselves, it could also help us have a tremendous amount of hakaras tov to Hashem for the wonderful things that He's doing for us. And that could also help us connect with Him and be mispala. Understanding Hashem's love for us and how way beyond humanly comprehensible and human behavior He goes in terms of being receptive to our tefillah, to our tshuva, we say at the end of Avinu Malkeinu, Chanenu v'anenu ki ein bono masim. Hashem have rachmanos on us, answer us, ki ein bono masim. What does it mean, ki ein bono masim? Ki, I don't think one of the usual translations of ki has different translations, but I don't think one of the usual translations is even though. Although that's how the Art Scroll translates it over here. Out of, I think, lack of a better pshat, that although we have no masim, I think that's how most people would translate it. Although we have no masim, you know, chaneinu v'aneinu. But in the Siddur Agra, he asks, what's pshat in the key? How is ein bono masim a reason for Hashem to answer our tefillos? Like, if anything, it's a reason for Hashem not to answer our tefillos. Let's leave that out for now. So he says like this. He says the mashal says, let's say somebody comes, knocks on your door, and you know, I've been working very hard. I tried this job, I tried that job, I got this training and that training, but this industry closed down and that guy laid me off, and I'm doing all my ishtadlus, but I partially can't put food on the table. Could you help me out? I need to feed my family. Okay, so your heart goes out to him and you give him some money. Another guy knocks on the door. This guy was a multimillionaire, but you know, he just went to Vegas and gambled all his money away. And now he knocks on the door and says, listen, I have no money left. Now, could you please help me? I need to put food on the table. So people will not be very interested in helping this guy out. Why'd you just, you know, throw your money in the ocean? So he says like this. That guy, imagine how he feels when he has to knock on the door. He knows that people are going to be looking at him like a shugana. The other guy, okay, at least it's embarrassing to ask, but he knows that, okay, I did my best. People understand that I did my best, and I have bad mazel, and okay, I need to ask. But the other guy, imagine how difficult it is for him to ask. And so, Mamela, that's Ma'orah Hashem's Rachmanis. Because Hashem sees his tsar. Look how difficult it is for him to ask for something, because he knows he doesn't deserve it. He knows he has no masim, so it's so much more difficult for him to ask. That's Ma'or Hashem's Rachmanis, and now he's going to answer his tefillos.
We have to have that in mind, like, consciously. I mean, I can't just ask and Hashem knows exactly what's going on, and like, I mean, like a conscious thought, like, I mean, it should be in my mind as I'm asking Hashem. Like, oh, by the way, also Hashem, I don't have my...
That's what Chazal meant by the words.
You know what I'm saying? So is that a general...
The Hargosha has to be there in order for that to be...
The Hargosha, right, the Hargosha that I'm uncomfortable asking because I know where I'm holding has to be there to be our Hashem's Rachmanis. But maybe when we realize how much of a Rachman Hashem is, that it's easier for that Hargosha to be there. You know... We're davening to Hashem. You know, there's a lot of you know, mi yichya, mi yamos. There's a lot of fear of the Yom HaDin. We're looking, counting down to Ben Azmanim. The Ila is you know, look, you know. I remember. All right, let's say the story. My wife asked me on a date, do you enjoy learning? Tough question. So I thought of this great response. So I said to her, you know how it is during the Ila, like you're really getting into the davening, But at the same time, you're looking at the clock, just waiting for it to be over. It's sort of like that. Anyways, there's a tremendous opportunity. Davening is difficult, but if we stop and think about the tremendous amount of rachmanis that Hashem has on us, the tremendous amount that Hashem loves us, just the metzias that He told us, here, take this horn, blow on this horn, it'll make some, move some things up in Shemayim, it'll create some malachim that will do some fancy stuff and give you a kapara, give you a good year, do this, do that, you come to shul and Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, walk down the canal, everybody else is, doing their exercise, doesn't even know that it's, Yom Kippur, Yechaseim, and they don't even know, Hashem didn't tell them, Hashem loves us, Atav HaKatonim, Mikol HaAmim, Hashem loves us. Hashem wants to give us a kapara. Hashem gave us a special day for kapara. Tshuva is a tremendous chesed. That's illogical. Tefillah is even a bigger chesed. Maybe that's illogical. A kid comes to me and says, Rebbe, I didn't study for my test. I know you told me exactly what I have to study. I didn't study at all, but please, I'm begging you. Even though I got a zero, please give me an A+. Get out of my face, right? That's not how Hashem works. And begging Hashem. Hashem has a tremendous amount of rachmanis. Hashem has a tremendous amount of love for us. If we could create those puppy eyes and really feel like we're talking to Hashem, our Father, the tremendous Rachman, the one who we need so much, Mirat Hashem, that will be Mor Hashem's rachmanis, and He will answer all of our fears. Thank you.